Blog Talk Radio.
Coming up week,
I pray that everybody's having a blessed week. The heave offering, I am believing the Most High for all that we heave to him, both personal and for the work of the kingdom. You know, it is a must that we start to go forth and do that which God has tasked us to do and believe on him that he's going to cause it to happen. It is his will. So I pray that everybody is of one accord and that you are at peace in your mind and in your heart on this day. We're going to go ahead and we're going to do our statement of faith, and then we are going to pray in and get into this lesson, this precept. Before we get started, they're also going to start the what I call the newcomers class. It is a it is required by our bylaws that we do this. So I pray that everyone that is in regular attendance that you attend. I think I will probably take a Wednesday to do that. Thursdays are spoken for and Tuesdays are spoken for. Then I might just redirect one of those days to actually do that. Not sure yet. But I'm going to start announcing it, and I pray that we all attend. Again, this is the milk of the word, but it's things that every newcomer should know and every newcomer to the kingdom should know, okay, and abide by. All right, that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads, the men to uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem, holding hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe this day, Father, the day that you have given us to eat from your word. And Father, we just be so thankful to you for feeding us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. All right. And I'm already out of order myself. Let us go and read our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your glorious mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for just loving a sinner like me, Father. Hallelujah. We just want to lift you up, God. We want to praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise and all the honor. Hallelujah. Who is like unto you? There is none like unto you. Hallelujah. And we just want to glorify you, Father, today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for another glorious day in your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And let us start in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their house, their land, toward their house, toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest forth our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. The Kingdom of Love, the book of 1 John. John chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 18. We'll start in verse 18. The book of 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Before we move into this, I was looking at this word that's coming up a lot in this series on love, and that word charity. And, you know, when I looked at this word, when I looked at this word charity in the dictionary, in the English dictionary, you know, it means to show kindness towards someone or to, you know, have pity on them. But when I looked at the word that it came from the actual Greek, the actual word was agape, and it simply means love. So why they translated this word to charity in some places, even in the context of the scripture, it doesn't, you know, make sense that they would use a different word where they would translate agape as charity when every place else they would translate it as the word love, the love of the Most High. Okay, so just want you to have that in your mind, that when we read that word charity, that from the Greek word, it is agape, okay, which simply means the love of or love. Typically, they use it, you know, you hear people explain it, the love of the Most High, that type of love. But every place that I find it in the scripture, it is simply referencing love, even when it's the love of the Most High. So, you know, I hear people say, oh, you got that, you know, I want to get that agape type of love. I realize even I was saying this stuff, but when I actually, you know, I don't know why the Most High had me to go look it up. You know, when I look at the English definition, I was like, you know, that doesn't seem quite right what goes into the scriptures. So when I look at the translation from the Greek, and it is simply agape, charity. Agape, but it is love. So wherever they translated it charity, it should just say love. So I don't know if I can, I'll have to try to see if I can find some background on why they translated that to charity. But the truth of the matter is, from the Greek in the verses, when I look up the Greek, it is agape, love. So we are, you know, this is the love of the Most High, and this is the love of the kingdom. the kingdom of love. And so the verses that we read where it says charity in your Bible, you technically and probably should just put in their love. Okay. And let's continue. The book of John, chapter 3. Or no, the book of 1 John, chapter 3. Verse 18. Book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18. And I will be glad when I get my office back together. This son on the side of the house is just killer. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward Elohim. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in them, and he in him. And hereby we know that we abide, that he abide in us, spirit which he gave, which he has given us. All right, so we have in these verses that we are to love one another, period, point blank. It is a commandment, and we don't want to fall into sin by being in transgression of the commandments. You and I are commanded to have love toward one another, genuine love, unfeigned love. And if we say we love each other and have malice in our heart one toward another, then we really are in transgression of the commandments of the Most High and the commandments of Messiah. And this commandment goes all the way back to Torah, that we should love one another. You know, people hear New Testament and think that it's a new, you know, it's a new commandment, it's a new gospel. No, it was because the first one, when he first gave it, it wasn't being kept. So he's going back and reiterating things. That's why when a lot of people want to say, oh, the law is done away with. The law has not been done away with. It is because of the transgression of the law, because we wouldn't keep it, that the new covenant had to come. There was nothing old with the first covenant. Oh, well, press that Jeopardy buzzer. That's not right. Let me restate that. Let me put it factually. There was nothing wrong with the law and everything wrong with us. Okay, we were the problem. Our flesh was the problem. So it was nothing wrong with the law, and the law told us to love each other, how we should treat each other, how we should love the Most High. You know, in another place he says, how can you love me whom you cannot see? How can you claim you love me whom you can't see and can't love your brother whom you can see? So we are this kingdom, period, is based upon love. And we got to know that, you know, even when, as I said before, even when love has to be tough, it's still based upon love. If I'm walking not according to the scriptures, then you should love me enough to tell me. You should not want to see me go to the lake or suffer, especially if it's out of ignorance. You know, and how are you going to know if I'm doing it in ignorance or not? Well, you should ask me, brother, do you know? Unless you really know, already know that I know. But, brother, do you know that what you're doing is against the scriptures of the Most High? Or I didn't know that. Yeah, that's against the scriptures of the Most High. You might want to check that out. You might want to watch what you're doing. But, you know, The problem, you know, the problem is not really with people who are just coming into the work. The problem is with us old heads, ones who have been in this thing for a minute and still converted, have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, don't do the things that we know we're supposed to do. That's the real problem. The Most High ain't got a problem with ignorant sin. He has no problem with that. You don't know. But he got a problem when what you do know and then you don't do it. So for us, as concerning love, he says that we are to have love one for another. That word love is a deep word. It means that I care for you. I more than care for you. I have genuine feelings for you because you are my brother and my sister in Christ. That's supposed to mean something to us. You know, some of us don't have brothers and sisters in real life. And then some of we do, we don't get along with them. But when we come to Messiah, and we're all looking for the same thing, we're looking for peace. We're looking for joy. We're looking for people who, you know, we know ain't going to stab us in the back, ain't going to be scoping out our house, and when we turn our back, they're taking stuff. Or they just want something all the time. Just because that's just their nature. That's what we're looking for, that peace. Hey, I can trust you. And because I can trust you, then you're welcome in my house. I can open up to you. Because I know that, truthfully speaking, if we're listening to the word, that you have my welfare in mind. You know, and when the Most High is blessing us, and I'm going to say it this way, when he is blessing us, it's easy to put somebody before ourselves. It's hard to do that when you are in need, when you are suffering yourself, when you got problems and you don't see no answers. You don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. Bills are due. You don't know where the money's coming from. Stick a butt in the refrigerator, and that's it. Maybe some eggs or whatever. When we are suffering, then it's hard to have this type of love one toward another. But when you are doing the right things, when you are doing what you're supposed to do, then God takes care of us. He makes sure, one way or another, you're not going to lack. If we find ourselves in that condition, then we really need to examine our own lives. If that's not the life that we want, because some people live like that and they want to live that way, and there's nothing wrong with living that way. Nothing wrong with that. If that is what you desire, and if that is what keeps you safe, and that's going to cause you to love other people and not judge them because that may not be their standard. But most people who are in need, really in need, find it hard to go there because they are in need. You can't really bless someone unless you're blessed. And so it goes the same way with love. Can't really love somebody unless you are loving and you're being loved. You know, when you're being attacked all the time, you can have a very loving heart and a very loving nature. And you can love your brother to death. But when you're not being filled back up, when nobody's pouring back into you, then you might have a hard time. You might come to a point where, you know what, I give and I give and I give and I give, and nobody's ever giving back to me. Nobody's ever pouring into me. And so the saints, we have to be conscious and cognizant of that. There are natural givers in the kingdom, people who are just givers. And they give up themselves, they give up their time, they give up their money. They just give. And every now and again, they need to be poured back into, to be refilled, to be rejuvenated, that they might be loving and giving of themselves, be able to do that again, you know, and not just feel drained. Because we know, let's be honest, we can be draining too, okay? We can need. And every time somebody comes around, we need. And maybe we were drained. And maybe we were so dry that when genuine love comes around, you know, we want to soak it up. We need to soak it up. So we have to be aware on both sides. You know, there are some people out there who, as I said, they're just givers. Their natural nature. Give you the shirt off of their back. But as citizens in the kingdom, if we are following the commandment to love one another, then we should be pouring back into them. Let's continue. Let us go to 1 John chapter 4, the book of 1 John chapter 4. Remember, we got this commandment to love one another. And I know, we know this, and we're supposed to do this, but this is really what this whole entire kingdom is based upon. You know, the Most High don't want to be getting on the saints all the time for sinning. It has to come a point where we stop sinning. It has to come a point where it's about doing something else. It's about what we're giving of ourselves. It's about what we're doing in relationship to the King. It's about pouring ourselves out to other people and they receiving the love of Elohim through us. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of Elohim, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is of Elohim. And every spirit that confesses not that Yeshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is not of Elohim. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, let's stop here for a minute. Because everybody that knows and claims that Messiah has come in the flesh, a lot of them have become wolves. In sheep clothing. That's why the first thing he said, let's read that again. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of Elohim. Now he's using the guideline that if they proclaim that Christ is coming in the flesh, it's of Elohim. And I can't speak against that because it's word, but we also know that in these times, and it says in the last days that men would become lovers of self more than and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Elohim. And so we have to take all of this together, and we have to look at what is going on in our time. I'm sure, according to the scripture, there was a time that if somebody said that Christ had come in the flesh, that person had been converted. Because this was a new doctrine, a new word in the world. 2,000 years later, you got men that read that and say, this is all I got to say. But then you need to try their spirit as well. You need to examine your lives. Because everybody who says that they are, that Christ has come, they may very well believe that, but don't believe the rest of the gospel. And the gospel for them is what they can get out of it, or how they might use it to control other people. In other words, everything is self-motivated. So we have to examine people. We have to know, are you truly of Elohim, or are you a wolf in sheep's clothing? Do you really have the love of Elohim in you? Or are you plastic, fake, not real? You want to be known as being good. You really, maybe at one time in your life, wanted to really serve the Most High. And somewhere along the way, you got caught up. Or maybe it was never there and it just looked good. I don't know. Each person is different. But the truth of the matter is you have to examine the spirit. Let's continue. And we're in chapter 4, verse 4. John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The one that's supposed to be in you is Christ. The power, the wisdom and the power of Elohim. That's Christ. If Christ be in you, but also the spirit of Elohim. To see, how do I say this? The spirit of Elohim, Elohim himself, the Ruach HaKodesh. And then Christ is a title, which doesn't just mean anointed, according to the scriptures. That word anointed is multifaceted and is deeper than just the word anointed by itself. But the scriptures sum it up as the wisdom and the power of Elohim unto salvation. That's what Christ did. And you have to be anointed with that, the wisdom and the power of Elohim. So who needs to be in you? Christ. Via the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. You want to have that, the power, the wisdom and the power of Elohim unto salvation. That's who's supposed to be in you. The one that is in the world is Satan. And when we come into the kingdom of the Most High, we are in the world, but not of it. But we're not living for the same things that the world is living for. We're not looking for the same things that the world is looking for. We're not trying to be the same as the world. We are in it, but not of it. So then our motivation has to be different than the world. Are you still in the flesh? Yes. Are you going to still have some fleshly desires? Yes. Should they be your main motivation? No. Should not be the primary focus of your being. But when we were in the world, that may very well have been true. We played to the flesh. But when we come into this kingdom, we realize, hey, I'm no longer supposed to be that way. I no longer can be that way. Because it is not the way of the kingdom. And so we have to take on that kingdom culture. We have to take on the kingdom ways. And that's to love each other genuinely. And really not because we're commanded to, Because the truth of the matter is, the commandment, the law of it, he really wants us to operate and dwell in the spirit of the law. So each person sort of almost has their own definition of love. And if we go by a rigid definition of love, we might leave some people out. More likely we will. Not might, we will. But the love that's in the scripture is the baseline. That's like the Ten Commandments are the baseline. You can keep all of the Ten Commandments, and you will only be meeting the Most High's minimum standard. His minimum standard. That's like saying, yeah, I showed up for work every day on time, but that's all I did. I showed up for work every day on time. Okay, you met the minimum standard for the job. You're supposed to be here every day on time. When we keep the Ten Commandments, the law, that's the Most High's minimum standard. He says, now, get into the spirit of it. Make sure that you are not so rigid that if it's not written, that you can't see that this particular action was in the spirit of the law. And I hate to use a negative for this, but it makes the point. When a man or a woman looked at each other in the Old Testament, and if they desired each other, as long as they didn't come together, no harm, no foul, because that was the letter of the law. But when Mashiach came, he said, hey, if you look at each other with lust in your heart, and the only reason that you didn't do it was because the opportunity didn't present itself for you to do it. You both, I'm going to use them both so they'll both be guilty. I'm not going to put it on one or the other. You both had lust and desire in your heart for each other, and you were both lusting after each other secretly. But in your heart you were, he said, so you are guilty of it. In the spirit of the law, you're guilty. But wait, what do you mean? Because in your heart, you had done it. So by the letter of the law, no, nobody can say they caught you in the bed together and doing anything. But by the spirit of the law, with the Most High that he goes by, you're guilty. Had the right opportunity come up, you would have done it. So the letter of the law lets us meet the minimum standards of the Most High. The spirit of the law raises that bar. So the law don't tell you how much to love. He don't put a limit on that. He don't put a limit on how much mercy to have or how much grace to extend or how much long-suffering. Because, see, to go through those things in the spirit of the law doesn't tell you when to stop with those things. It's as your capacity is, so you could raise the bar, even with yourself. Now, if we went strictly by the law and the law said, you should feed your brother or your sister who's hungry. By the letter of the law, if you gave them a meal, that's what you would be doing. You'd be meeting the minimum standard, because that's what the minimum standard of the law is, that you did that. But when you read the parable about the Good Samaritan didn't just do what the minimum that the law required. He didn't just stop on the side of the road and check on the man, or, hey, are you okay? Do you need some help? Oh, I'll send somebody back. He didn't do that. That parable is showing you that he met he not only met the minimum standard of the law, but he exceeded it. Oh, I'm going to take you and take you where you can get taken care of. I'm going to pay your bill. And I'm going to leave some that if it's even over that, that it doesn't put the innkeeper where I took you to out. Even if I'm going to tell the innkeeper, even if it takes more than this, go ahead and spend what you need to spend. And on my way back through again, I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. That's the spirit of the law. It's not the letter of the law. He could have just dropped them off, or he could have said, you know what? I'm going to fix you up right here on the side of the road and leave you right here. But he took this man, bandaged up his wounds, and took him to an inn, made sure he had a roof over his head, made sure he had food, even after he was gone. That's the spirit of the law. So it doesn't go by the same standard. And that's why the Most High wanted us to come out of the letter of the law. Yes, you want to know what the law says, but then you need to look at in spirit. Is this just black and white and this is all I do? Bam. I met the letter of the law. And I love you because I met the letter of the law. But he's saying when we have genuine love for each other, you know, if I really love you, if I'm not treating you like a stranger, then if you're my loved one, I'm not just going to just take you somewhere and drop you off. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. If I got to go, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. I can't be here right now, but I got so-and-so coming by, and they're going to be here for you. They're going to take care of you. And I've left some money with them so that if you need, just tell them what you need. And I'm telling them, hey, I got to go, but handle this for me, and I'll pick it up when I come back. And I'll make sure that you are taken care of as well for your time because, hey, everybody's time is valuable to them. But that's the spirit of the law. So do I just meet your need, or do I exceed that? Do I throw you some food on a plate and say, be full? Or do I ask you, is there anything else that you need? I see you got some holes in your shoes. Let me go see to that. This is of the law. And it's the spirit of love. Love doesn't define how much you do. So you can say, hey, I'm just going to do X. And if that's all you can do, that's fine. If that's all you can do, that's fine. But when we're in the spirit of it, what else, you know, if you can do more, then you do more. Okay? That's the difference. You might say, hey, I fed you. I met the law. I met the standard of the law. And you might have fed them and didn't really have any genuine compassion. But I'm going to do it because I know I'm supposed to do it. That, you know, that's all good. But at the same time, did you gain a brother or a sister? Or are we going through the motions trying to put feathers in our cap? And that's why he says, judge the spirit. Examine them. Is this really what they're about? Let's continue. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of Elohim. He that knoweth Elohim heareth us. He that is not of Elohim hear not us. Hereby know we that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you know that you are following Elohim, you know when you hear something that's not right. You know when somebody's teaching something that is not right, it is not according to the word. You know when they get outside this book and they have no understanding and they're outside the book. So you can be outside the book as long as you are bringing it with understanding, bringing it back, and it's in line with the word of the Most High. That would be in spirit with the word itself. But when it's always one-sided, when it's always against one gender, when it is always presented toward the flesh, when it's always about can we have a drink, can we get a buzz, can we have some of that hard liquor, how many women you got, or if you weren't saved, you'd be doing this. You know what, if I wasn't in this book, I'd be, really, that's the type of person that you really, really are deep down inside. But we know when it's not right, and we know when it's not the Spirit of the Most High, if we be truthful. We know this. So examine those spirits. Make sure you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Nobody's perfect, not one of us, and we're all prone to make an error here and there. You can misspeak. Error. Made a mistake. Not any of us talk perfect all the time. When I mean that by not talking perfect, meaning that, you know, hey, you might spout something and think that is true, but it was in error. I'm not talking about being foul-mouthed. Because, you know, it just, I'll have to be truthful with you, it just amazes me how many of us still can't get this profanity out of our mouth. That's why the scriptures say, hereby we bless Elohim and curse with the same tongue. Something's not right there. So we have to judge whether it's the spirit of truth or whether it's the spirit of error. Even in love, because we're you know, we are gatekeepers. We are guardians. We are ambassadors. We are elders. And there's elder sisters and elder brothers. The elder women are supposed to teach the what? Younger women. The elder brothers are supposed to teach the younger brothers. And when we know what our position is, then we can actually do our job out of love, in love. Because I don't want to see you go down that road. That road, I used to be on that road. I can tell you, there ain't nothing on that road that you want. Or sister, you don't want to go down that road. I used to be on that road. There is nothing on that road that you want, but out of love. And a lot of times, especially today, in these times, it's hard for people to hear. Can't tell me nothing. But if we are citizens of this kingdom, somebody ought to be able to tell you something. If we are being meek and humble, how can nobody tell you nothing? Now, what you do with it, even if you're listening, that will say where you're at spiritually. If you're humble and you hear, but you still ain't going to, you know, I hear you. I'm being humble. So I'm appearing to be humble. But I ain't really trying to hear you. So we have to be able to judge whether it's the spirit of truth or whether it's the spirit of error. Let's continue. let us love one another. For love is of Elohim, and everyone that loveth is born of Elohim and knoweth Elohim. If you truly love and you understand what this thing is all about, then you have to know from the very beginning that Elohim is love. And that's the only thing that has caused him to forbear with mankind all of this time, because mankind should not be here except for we serve the Elohim of love. And then when love gets angry, let me see if I can paint a picture for you. Remember when Messiah is in the boat and there's this, he's asleep, and the waves, the storm is raging, okay? And his disciples are getting scared. They're afraid. And Messiah sits up and says, peace, be still. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the spirit of peace. Peace was in a rampage. He was acting ugly. Peace, be still. When love gets upset, then what do you think you're going to see? When love goes on a rampage, when love gets hurt, when love has had enough, I've been patient with you. I've been long-suffering with you. I've been merciful with you. And you still acting ugly. Now you're going to see the ugly side of love. Now comes judgment. Now may even come, as we read in, I believe it's Matthew's, when Messiah said, didn't you know I was an austere man? I came in love, but when I come back, I'm coming back when my mercy and my long suffering and my my love has come to its end. I'm coming back for those that love me, but for all those that don't love me, you're not seeing love. You're going to see my wrath, which is the opposite of love. So when Messiah stood up and spoke to the spirit of peace, peace, be still, settle down, it was the spirit of peace that was on a rampage. Now, when the spirit of love, when it reaches its limit, it is usually get very ugly. And so we don't want to see that. We don't even want to be that. That's why it says to be long-suffering. So that when love does get upset, by the time love gets upset, it has been worn out. It has been drugged through the mud. It's been slapped upside the head 3, 4, 5, 6 times. It's been misused and abused. It's been taken for granted. Not once or twice, but over and over and over again. When you are born of Elohim, you are born of love, then you become loving, and you become long-suffering, and you become like Elohim. There's a time when Elohim says, enough is enough. Like when he told Israel, you know what? I came in the flesh. I came to see about you. And you crucified me. So So I'm going to kick you out of the land, you and your forefathers and your children. I'm kicking you out of the land because you took my deepest expression of love and you spit on it. Not only did you spit on it, you put it to death. Most I had enough. So we as his people, we have to have his spirit. That don't mean that you got to take stuff forever. There's a time everything has its place. There's a time and a place for everything. But our nature is to actually take vengeance first. And he says, no, I don't want you to have that nature. I want you to put up with some stuff. I don't want your first reaction to be to take vengeance. I want you to look out for the welfare of your brother or your sister. I want you to bend over backwards for them. And then when they show, after you have judged the spirit, that this is not, they are not being holy, they are not being, trying to be right, then you can come to the end of your long suffering. The Most High wants us to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And that they are trying. And when they prove themselves that they're not, then you are justified. Let's continue. Because see, what Messiah is showing us in the scripture and what we're seeing in the word, when people think that you're this loving, long-suffering person, that you're easy, and you can be walked over, and you can be abused. And none of those things are true. The Most High just wants us to be to where we give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Everybody goes through some things. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody goes through a stretch in their life where it's hard for them to get on the right track. And they may genuinely be trying and just be have this spirit on them that they just can't seem to get it right. But if you look into their heart and you see that they are genuine, they're just struggling, then he wants you to be more patient with them. We were once there. We probably had a stretch in our life where we went through something like that. But then when we know that they are not about it, they are proving themselves, they are not about it. And, you know, and it would have the nerve to talk bad to you or about you. Then, you know, that's when that's time to, Most High is not calling us to be foolish or fools. But I'm going to have to love you from a distance. So that tap that you used to tap into, this one, nah, that's not available to you because I can't throw my pearls before swine. That's not just a word. That's also your love. That's also your caring, your generosity. Anybody else, this would help them be a better person. But for you, it's not doing anything for you. So try the spirit. Let's continue. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. The payment, the that word propitiation, let's look at that. That word in the Hebrew or in the Greek. And I hate when I switch this view like this. Let me go back to this other view to get what verse that was in. Good grief. Good grief. I couldn't find it to save my life. All right, let's look at this word propitiation. That word in the Greek is an atonement, an expiator. And we have to get the definition for this word. This word propitiation to bring us back at one minute. This is what's going to satisfy me. So the death of Messiah satisfied what the Most High needed or wanted in relationship to the debt that we owed him for sin. In other words, we got a situation. I have been hurt. And I want you to satisfy what I need to get over this. I want you to give me what I need to get over this. That's what that propitiation is. Give me what I need to get over this transgression between you and I. A form of a payment. But in this case, I need a life that satisfies what I need to get over what you've done. And I need a life that is sinless, that is holy, that is able to pay the price and what I require. Christ was that payment. Christ is what the Most High said he needed to get over our sin against him. Let's continue in this. Beloved, if Elohim so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen Elohim at any time. If we love one another, Elohim dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Can't say that more powerful or any other way. Those that Elohim loves, he gives his Spirit. Because we've proven that we have genuine love toward him, that we know what he did. We know what Messiah did. That we are truly repentant. We're sorry. We have godly sorrow. Talk about that word godly sorrow for a minute. Well, that's two words. Talk about that concept. See, it's one thing when you have offended your brother. or your sister. It's a completely and a whole nother thing when you realize that you have offended the Most High Elohim. If you really recognize who he is, who and what he is, to have godly sorrow. That's completely different. You know, I really do think that probably in a different kingdom, in a different type of government, it would be easier for us to understand if somebody truly had. Well, no. Let me put it in terms that we can probably understand it from the society we live in. If you were walking down the street and somebody came up and pulled a gun on you, total stranger, you hadn't done anything to them. But at that moment, they had the power of life and death over you. They weren't close enough to where you could grab for the gun, try to protect yourself. They weren't far enough away that if they shot you, they were going to miss you. And they come, they start talking to you and saying, hey, you don't remember me, but you highly offended me, and this was the situation. And they gave you a situation. And then it came back to your mind that, oh, this was that person. And in their eyes, you can see, in their eyes, you can see that they would kill you. You had offended them to that degree. At that moment in time, you might be able to have the appropriate level of sorrow toward them, especially if you thought you were about to die, and if you thought that, hey, if I can convince this person that I truly am sorry for offending them that way. Might be able to have the appropriate level of sorrow. When we look at Elohim because of who he is, creator of the universe, the one that brought us into being, and we don't have respect of that, and it's hard to have godly sorrow, even when we offend him, because we don't put him in his proper place. As to who he is, and what he's done, and what we truly are or are not to him. Individually, as a species, had he not declared us to be his children, we could have been like a cow, something to be sacrificed. What if he saw us that way? And it was the cows that he said were his children. But he didn't. Because you are my children. And then we have not respect of him to have godly sorrow. Oh, I have offended you. Therein is the problem. So we have to have godly sorrow so that we don't transgress against them and so that we know the type of love that he has for us, because it's funny, but it ain't funny. He could have said, you are like the cow, you are like the cattle of the earth, a brute beast. And I created all of them, but I have appointed them for the sacrifice. I have appointed them to be food. What if he had said that about us? And we really don't consider this thing. We consider ourselves, we act all privileged, and then we forget who it is that saved us. We forget who it is that loved us. We forget who it is that created us. I love you so much. All my creation. I chose you as the creature that I'm going to declare to be my children. And then we have no respect of him, no regard of when we transgress. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 14. But go back to verse 13 for a minute. Because he has given us his Spirit. Elohim is Spirit. And so Elohim loved us so much that he would put a part of himself in us, something that he created. The angels don't have this testimony. As far as I know, nowhere in Scripture any other being has this testimony. And he tells us that the angels were created greater than we are. They're bigger, they're smarter, they're stronger. They're eternal. But he chose to bestow honor and this blessing on man. To which of the angels said he at any time, you are my beloved son, you are my begotten son? He never said that to an angel, but he said it to man. Never said it to a demon, but he said it to man. Never said it to any of the other creatures that he has out there, according to the scriptures. But he said it to man. And then we don't feel any kind of way when we transgress against him. Or maybe we felt a little bit of guilt. But that goes back again to what I would really start this on, is that godly sorrow. This is when the Most High, when we can recognize and have godly sorrow toward him, I have offended Thy Elohim, the creator of the universe, the one that has declared me to be his son. I have offended him. And it not mean anything. But when it does, when you can get to that point where it means something to you and you have a clear understanding this is who you are dealing with and have Elohim or godly sorrow toward him, then he fills you with his Ruach. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Son of Elohim, Elohim dwelleth in him, and he in Elohim. And we have known and believed that love that Elohim has to us. Elohim is love, and he that that dwelleth in love dwelleth in Elohim, and Elohim in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. This is what you're going to be able to brag about. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's why I said he calls us to be perfect as he is perfect. And he tells us what he defines that as. And so the more we try to be like daddy, the better off we are. The greater our love will be. Because we'll realize that, hey, we were adversarial to the Most High, and he still loved us. Our forefathers fired the Most High, and he still loved us. He still came. Still went on that cross. Still made a way where there was no way. And he says, that's love. And that's how I want you to love. Now, there came a point where, yeah, he got tired. And he says, you know, when I come back, don't look for the same old me. I'm giving you a space. My love is giving you a space. My grace is giving you a space. I'm giving you a grace period. Get it right. Because I'm not going to let you continue to abuse me. So I've made a grace period. Get it right. Recognize who I am and how much I love you, how much I really love you. I mean, considering who I am, it don't get any deeper than this. I don't let anything else in the creation treat me the way I've let you treat me. Nothing else in the creation would even attempt to do it. They might come against my creation, but they're not going to come against me. Satan or nobody. See, we don't want to get that twisted. Satan never questioned the Most High concerning the Most High being the Most High and who he is, his power and authority. He's like, why are you doing that with man? You see the way he is. His accusation, that's why he calls him our accuser. Because he accuses us to the Most High. You see how he is. You see what he does. You see how disobedient he is. You see where his mind will go. I can make him think anything or do anything. You see how he is. What is man that thou were so mindful of him? So we're the only one. And we ought to have great respect and great love for the Most High Elohim. Because nothing else in his creation has done what man has done. And he says, that's my child. That's why I'm so long suffering with him. And we have to understand that and know that. And then try to be more like daddy. Try to be more like Elohim. My daddy loves that deep. I should love that deep. My daddy suffered for eons with man. I should be able to suffer eons with you. But just understand that every age comes to an end. And while we are in the grace period, the grace age, where the Most High is extending grace to us, a grace period, get it right. Then we have to learn his brand of love. For he is love. And we have to learn to love like he loves. And he knows that our life is finite. We ain't here forever. But if we exhibit the type of love that he exhibits, he knows that there's a time and a place for everything. And even he has appointed time. You know what? That grace period going to end. And then you're going to see the other side of love. And when he has taken out his wrath for all the disobedience, then the kingdom's going to be exactly the way he wanted it, full of love for a righteous and a pure and a loving and a peaceful and a non-transgressing people. This is what I wanted from the beginning. Each one of you looking out for each other. Each one of you taking care of each other, not looking to get over, not looking to have false scales to cheat each other. It's what I wanted from the very beginning. So I loved you enough to send you a Messiah. I loved you enough to come in the flesh. Even when you didn't love me. I'm going to establish my kingdom of love. And this is the basis for it. So we'll be, when we become like him, while we are becoming like him, when we understand that's what we have to do, when we hear the word and believe it. Love your brother and your sister, just as I have loved you. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We hear all the time to fear Elohim. But what he's telling us is when we come into right relationship with him, we have a natural respect and a level of respect that we fear him, but we fear him out of love because we know he loves us and what he wants for us is perfect. And the only thing that will make us do right and treat him the way that we ought to treat him is this deep level of respect for who he is. That's why I say, when you know and respect him for who he is as Elohim, there is the appropriate level of respect and fear and love of him. And he said, this one gets it. He is love. And he wants us to be love. He wants us to do this out of love and not out of fear. To do this out of love and not out of fear, but you still got to have a healthy respect and fear for him because of who he is. But love is supposed to trump all that. But see, when we think, our problem is, I think, when I say our, I mean in mankind, a lot of us will take love as weakness. Because we really don't truly understand love. A lot of men will take your love, your natural love, and look at it as a weakness, because their motivation is not love. Their motivation is to get over. And so they don't have the appropriate level of fear. We fear Elohim because of who he is. He could literally just unspeak us. And we, Brother Miles, you never were. Sister Mary, Sister Denise, anybody else listening, they would not even know, have ever heard the name of Brother Miles. All these lessons would be as though they never were. That's who we're dealing with. He could do that. Just, you just never existed. I don't care how many years you were on this earth. Nobody has a conscious remembrance of you. The kind of power our Elohim has. If he spoke everything into existence, he could speak it out of existence. He could reverse it. So any type of being with that type of power, you ought to not only respect but fear. If he chose to use the fullness of his power, but he says, I'm not going to do that. But I could. I have the power to do so. And we don't consider the matter. So they don't have the appropriate level of fear of him. Now, when you understand who he is and what he is and what he can do, and that's not to say that that's the max that he can, because you know what he says. I'm going to do you one better. I'm not going to speak you out of existence. I'm going to give you eternal life and throw you in the lake. I'm going to make it where you can't die, and I'm going to throw you in the lake that's built for spirits that can't die, to torment spirits that can't die. It'll be an easy thing to unspeak you. You would have no torment. You wouldn't have, you know, it would be like you never were, because you never were, because I unspoke you. But I'm not going to do that. So we don't have the proper respect of him, which gives us the proper fear of him, but also should give you the proper love of him. Because you are who you are, and you chose me. You love me. You adopted me. You say, I can be like you. And you're going to put your spirit within me so I can be like you? Wow. I don't deserve it. But you still going to do it? Because you say, I am your child. And you're going to declare it to all the rest, all of creation, that this is who I am. And so just as they respect you, they're going to have to respect me. See, we don't consider the matter. Everything else in the creation, Sion loves him because it just naturally knows who he is. He says, now, when I declare that you are my son, guess what they have to do for you too? That's why he says, you're going to judge angels. As soon as they know and find out that, and I have declared that you are my son, they don't serve you like they serve me. And you don't recognize that? And you want to show me less respect than they do? Let's continue. So verse 19 again. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love Elohim and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love Elohim, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth Elohim love his brother also. So who is this commandment coming from? Elohim. Love your brother who you can see. Love the Most High and fear him and love him. But don't operate in him totally out of fear, because your fear should be able to translate, I fear you because I know who and what you are, and what you know, just by virtue of the example that you have given us, you created. If you created, you can uncreate. If you created, you can destroy whatever you created. It's in your power to do so. If you spoke it into existence, it's in your power to unspeak it out of existence. So I know who you are by virtue of just the examples that you have given us. That's enough for me to fear you. But the fact that you loved me and you came into the world to pay the price so that I could get back to you and be in relationship with you makes me love you, because you first loved me. I wouldn't have had a concept of what love is. But I love you because you first loved me. To the point that you were willing to put on flesh, come into this world, and allow me to kill you to get back to you. To the base yourself. To the lowest common denominator, me. That I might be able to get back to you. Because from your position as Elohim, I couldn't obtain that. So you say, I need to be what you need me to be. That's love. And no matter how bad you've treated me, no matter how much you have been an adversary to me, surely, surely when you learn and know of who I am and what I did for you, that you would come. Appreciative. And loving. Now, I, as your creator, my commandment to you is that you love one another. I have loved you. And all those, all of you who can't come to that understanding in that place, there is no place for you in my kingdom. For I am love. But love don't mean easy. Love don't mean weak. Love don't mean that I'm a pushover. Love means I'm going to look at you in your circumstance and see where you are and give you a chance. Give you truth and give you a chance to turn from your wicked ways. And decide to choose me and be like me. So next time you talk to your brother or your sister, know and treat them in the true spirit of love. And when everybody ain't gonna make it, Yah says his will is that we should all make it. But he tells us over and over and over again in his word, all y'all ain't going to make it. hell keeps widening his mouth. Because this simple concept of love, long-suffering, to be at peace with one another, to look after one another, to care about one another, for whatever the reason, many of y'all just don't get it. But y'all wants us to love one another and don't claim we love him if we can't love our brother and our sister, if we can't be long-suffering with them. And so they just show. You know, he even says, when you put them out, it's for love so that they will make it through the judgment. Let them put the flesh to what? Put them out and let them be judged now so they don't get judged in the judgment out of love. So love is not weak. Love is not stupid. For to say those things would be calling Elohim weak and Elohim stupid. And he's hardly any of those things. He says, but I want you to have a fair chance. I want you to be able to have the truth and have the facts and then choose to do the right thing. I have placed it within you. I've given you the capacity. And if you're further along than your brother or your sister, just help them along. Don't talk down to them. Don't treat them like they're nothing. And if they prove themselves to be a wolf, or they prove themselves to be of the night, the devil, turn them over to that kingdom. Out of love. Elohim will judge them. He knows their heart. It says, if they're in amongst my people, though, they're going to raise havoc. They're going to cause havoc. They're going to destroy the peace. So we can be loving and kind and merciful and long-suffering. We can be all those things. And we're to love one another that way. But we're all supposed to love each other that way. And when we have those that are among us that won't do that, we're told what to do out of love. So I pray we hear this. All right. On the evening of the 31st, it will be the seventh day of the feast of, tomorrow night will be the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened. It is a holy convocation. And we are to be in observance in it. So we will have a service for tomorrow night to celebrate Unleavened. To celebrate loving one another. Celebrate walking upright with the Most High. We can have joy when we are doing the right things. We should not be in joy if we're not doing the right thing. But when we are doing the right things, we should have joy. Messiah came that we might have life. And that more abundant, honored him and respected his gift to us. And in the end, he came that we might have life. And so we want to celebrate that. That we have life. And that we can have eternal life if we endure to the end. Well, let me say this a different way. That we can have eternal life with him if we endure to the end. Because we're all going to get eternal life. Just some to everlasting torment and some to everlasting peace and blessing. So we want to celebrate the victory that Messiah has given us. We have honored him in his death. We have paid respect for him for the work that he did in being faithful and going to the cross. We have set aside our sin. And let us be joyful and take joy in the life he has given us, a life rich and beautiful and peaceful. Because when you are at peace with the Most High, you can't get a greater peace than that. Can't get a greater joy than that. So we want to come together tomorrow night and celebrate Mashiach and the life that he's given us. So I pray that you are able to come out and attend. We want the faithful. We want those that the feast days, they are the feast days of the Most High. The Most High don't want people there who don't want to be there. He don't want people keeping them who don't really want to keep them. So we want to keep them and keep them in the right way, respect of what he's done, being mindful of who it is that we serve and what he's done. And we want to celebrate like Miriam and Moses did when they came through the sea. And they celebrated their deliverance. So we are at the end of the Feast of Unleavened, and we want to celebrate what the Most High and Mashiach have done for us in song, in dance. If the Most High puts it on you to get up and dance, hallelujah. But it's a celebration tomorrow. And we celebrate the victory that we have in Christ and the work that he's done for us. All right, let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you. We thank you for first loving us. We thank you for perspective, Father, that love is not weak. Love is not stupid. Love is long-suffering. Love is placing ourselves in the shoes of the other person, having empathy. Love is being patient with our brother and our sister. Love is exhibiting all your attributes, Father. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for accepting us and declaring us to be your children, because you didn't have to. We thank you for the work that you have done on the cross. We thank you for living the life and showing us the life that you would have us to live. We thank you for your word, Father, which is our guidance. We thank you for your spirit, which interprets your word. We thank you most of all for first loving us. So, Father, we will come together tomorrow night, and we will celebrate the victories that you have given us, the life that you have given us in Mashiach. And we'll celebrate that eternal life that we look forward to. And we will honor you in it. Father, thank you for your angels. Thank you for camping them around us. Thank you for having them to be on guard to keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again at the appointed time, I love you, and Yah loves you more. Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a